Everyone, it's good to see a nice group here this morning and visitors. We just appreciate having you I know that there are a few of you, maybe not too many, that remember an evangelist by the name of Roy Lunger. Lived in Lawrence, Kansas, and he was deaf. But I remember coming in, you would come into church and you would ask him, well, what's your lesson going to be about? And he'd say, about 45 minutes. So mine's not going to be 45 minutes, but mine's going to be more like maybe 30 minutes. We're going to be talking about assurance of holiness. The assurance of holiness. Get this situated because my voice is not very good any longer. So we'll get over closer to this. You know, the inspired writings of the Apostle Paul have in my older years become my favorite reading and study material. And it's because they are all about what I call last messages. And that's not only from this aged John, but it was more importantly from our Heavenly Father through His Holy Spirit. So in all five books that John wrote, the Gospel, the three epistles, and the Revelation, they are last messages. They are admonitions, which means they're authoritative counsel or warnings, and then they're prophecies, foretelling the things that would happen in the future. But you know, the older I get, the more I appreciate all of John's inspired writings. So this lesson is going to be based on some thoughts that I have gleaned from various sources in an effort to edify you in the best way that I can. And I'm sure most all of you probably have heard Brother Rick Sparks say, and the same thing applies to me, and I'm going to quote what he says. He said, "Very little that I ever say is original with me, but I hope that everything I say is true. If you hear me say anything that is not true, I hope you'll let me know so I can correct it. I love the truth and I want to follow the truth wherever it leads." End of quote. And that's a good thing for all of us to do and want to do. First, let's get acquainted with our brother from the first century. Who is this aged man known as the Apostle John? So we're going to just do a little brief glimpse of Paul, of John's life and his work. John, the Apostle John, lived the longest of all the apostles, almost till the end of the first generation. So therefore, he was the last contributor to the divine revelation from God. Now, John and the Apostle Paul were the major contributors in compiling the New Testament. John wrote 5 books. Paul wrote 13 or 14, depending on if you count Hebrews. And that's 70% of the New Testament, or the New Covenant, which is based on the Spirit that gives life. Now, John and Paul were different in many ways, but not in their mature love for the truth. They both really loved the truth. But now Paul had been gone for decades, leaving John with the last word. It's been said, it's like the wine at the wedding in the Canaan of Galilee. The best wine is last. But as Rick said about that remark, he said, "I don't think you and I need to decide who is best between Paul and John. They're both good. They're both writing by inspiration." So let's just keep in mind that John is writing all of his books as an eyewitness and as the last apostle in the last decade of the first century. All the other New Testament books have been written 20 or more years ago. So what kind of a person was John? Well, he was one of the inner circle of 3 apostles along with Peter and James, And he was a very familiar figure in most of the scenes in the Old Testament with Jesus and his disciples. Now, probably the image that many people have of the Apostle John, it's probably not quite what he really was like. You know, paintings of the past have made him appear to be pale and quiet, dove-eyed, and even effeminate. However, John was outgoing, and at times he could be most volatile. He was emotional, and he could be quite demanding. His writing is bold and direct and dogmatic. John is authoritative in his writing, and he's committed to the absolutes. In other words, we could say he is black and white. And John leaves no doubts where he stands on an issue. So, as an authoritative apostle, I think he probably would be the perfect writer to address the church today. So we need to listen to the Apostle John. It's been said, John is an exclusive preacher that's needed in our inclusive times. John really writes in very simple words and in clear certainties. Nothing here is vague. Nothing here is ambiguous. And John can bring a new sense of certainty to all of us. And if you are already certain, he will make you that you're much stronger in your certainty. So I now want to just look briefly at a comparison between his Gospel of John and the Epistles of John. They were written at about the same time. They were written with approximately the same vocabulary. They were written to combat a single heresy, which was in the process of becoming Gnosticism. Remember, this is the latter third of the first century, probably 85 to 90 AD. The church is at least about 45 years old or a little older, and it has many antagonists. Well, here are some differences between John's gospel and his epistle. John's gospel is written for unbelievers. Remember in John the 20th chapter, verse 31, he said, "These are written that you might believe." So the purpose of John's gospel was evangelistic, while his epistles were written for believers. And their purpose was to deepen the believers' confidence and to bolster their assurance. So now let's get into the main part of the lesson. Our focus for the rest of this lesson will be on John's first epistle. And thanks, Maverick, for reading that fifth chapter of 1 John. His primary purpose in writing this book was to produce holiness in his readers. He says near the conclusion of his letter in John 5 and 13, 1 John 5 and 13, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Now, this verse is key to this whole letter. It's a very key point, to know that you may know certain and have a certainty of things. So John actually is saying, I want you to eliminate your sadness, your sin, and your doubt. I want you to bring you joy. I want to bring you holiness. I want to bring you assurance. And you know, a study of the 1 John does bring us joy. It helps us to turn more readily and more eagerly from sin, and it gives us the assurance of eternal life. And those were the purposes for which the Holy Spirit inspired this letter that John wrote down. So this brings us to a question that many may find difficult to answer regarding assurance and joy. Listen to this question I'm going to ask you and think about it. Do you know for sure you are going to have an eternal home in heaven? While you're thinking about that, let me ask this other question. Do you find joy in your thoughts of heaven? We all may have different answers to that. Well, 1 John is a book with some really great certainties which can help us to answer this question in the affirmative. You know, we live in a time when certainty and conviction about truth are not very well tolerated. Today's attitudes, even among a lot of religious people who claim to believe in the Bible, many times is they say, well, I'm just too humble to think that I could ever really know what the Bible really means. And then we get to the place where we're not certain about much of anything. You know, I imagine John was aware that in his day when he was writing 1 John, that there was people who didn't have certainty and conviction about eternal life. So, in writing this epistle, John introduces the truth necessary to know, which he says, that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him, or God. And that's 1 John 3:19. You know, John reiterates this concept several times in his letter. By this we know, John says time and time again. But he did not say, we think, we hope, we wish, or we feel. But it was always, we know. And this makes 1 John an epistle of certainty. This, by this, when he used that phrase, by this, I think it refers to John's clear and unambiguous teaching about the two major realities in the spiritual realm, which are truth and love. And these are the compelling realities, truth and love, which allow us to say we know with certainty and conviction that we know Him, chapter 2, verse 3, that we are in Him, chapter 2, verse 5 and 4, 13, that we have passed from life to death, or from death to life, pardon me, in 3:14, that we may know love, 3:16. And he says, we know that we are of the truth, in 3:19, that he abides in us, 4:13, that we love the children of God, 5:2, that he hears us, 5:15, that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him, 5:15, that whosoever is born of God does not sin, 5:18, that we are of God, 5:19, and then John closes this letter with these powerful truths that Maverick read in 1 John 5 and verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ, and this is the truth, true God, and eternal life. Now, with that said, what is the role of truth and love in being certain and convicted about knowing our assurance of holiness? Well, I think the Apostle Paul stressed made a great point about truth and love in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 15, with 5 words. He said, speak the truth in love. That is, truth proclaimed in love is the balance of really what we're after. It's not enough to have love and leave out the truth. But neither do we want unloving, self-righteous orthodoxy. So Christ, I think, is the perfect image of truth and love in balance. That is, knowing the truth that as God reveals it, and then loving as Christ loves. Also, John is a marvelous example of truth and love. I want you just to listen to his passionate and assuring words in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verses 18 and 19. He said, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him." You know, John is a most powerful advocate of truth by giving us a powerful representation of love. This apostle of certainties is the New Testament writer that's also known as the apostle of love. And he does not come across as harsh, yet he is firm. He has learned that speaking the truth in love is the most loving thing that we can do. John received the love of the truth and he never let it go. But neither did John's love ever slide into sentimentality. But you know what? John had to learn love just like we do. He was not always a loving person. The younger John, we'll think back, used to be called the son of thunder because he wanted to call down fire from heaven upon a Samaritan village. And that's in Luke, the 9th chapter, verses 51 through 56. And then another time, he manifested a self-promoting ambition, wanting a special privilege and honor to set it on the right or the left hand of the Lord. And that's Mark 10:37. And you know, the only time recorded that he speaks up in any of the Gospels is in Mark, the 9th chapter, verse 28, or 38, excuse me, when he says, "Master, we saw one casting out demons in thy name." And he said, "We tried to stop him because he wasn't following us." Well, this gave Jesus an opportunity to give him a lesson. The Lord's message to John was, through all of his self-promotion, he said, "Stop trying to be in charge, John. You need to start being last. You need to learn how to be a servant. You need to become like a little child." So you see, this immature John was determined to burn the Samaritans. He wanted to be chief, and he wanted to shut up people that he didn't think were worthy. Oh, John had a real competitive spirit. He had the ability to be narrow, dogmatic, exclusive, and draw a hard line. However, that's usable if it's for the right things, and yes, with love. However, John was a kind man who could be shaped into strength, and what the Lord needed to do was to make him loving. And I think we will all agree that he succeeded in doing that. So the question is, how did he learn to be loving? Well, the simple answer is he learned the love from the Lord. Because he says in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 16, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." That says it all, doesn't it? We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So we notice that as a mature, older writer, John uses the word confidence several times. And by that he means boldness or assurance. John knows whereof he speaks. So he has confidence. And he is certain about what he writes. Now the Bible exalts dogmatism in that sense of boldness, because John knows what the truth is. And that's the key. We've got to know what the truth really is to be confident. So how does truth apply to us in regard to being able to say we know? Well, it's out of love. He gives us the truth, and we're able to experience that truth as we learn to love, just like John did. So then, how does love lead us to overcome the world and to have certainty and conviction of our salvation? Well, I think in studying the first epistle of John, we need to keep in mind that John is, unlike Paul, very personal and conversational in his writings. John writes more like a father talking to his beloved family. So here in 1 John, we notice that John is taking a fact of the truth, and he circles it back through the same thing again and again, all the way through the five chapters of 1 John. Just like a father teaching his children with repetition, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And you know, it appears to me that in John, the fifth chapter, verses 1 through 5, which Maverick read also, it really is a good summary of this idea of overcoming the world and attaining an assurance of holiness. And I'm going to read those first five verses again to you. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So there we have our answer. But you know, it's difficult for many to understand, because this is so contrary to today's mood, making it seem insensitive and out of touch. But the Apostle John, by inspiration, normalizes it. Therefore, we have no excuse. We should know, and we should have confidence. And here is the essential first step that must be taken. Using the example of John himself, John starts with the living incarnate Word, which is the whole theme of the written Word, the Holy Scriptures. So now let's sort of conclude this lesson by restating the conclusion of the whole matter. 1 John 3:16 said, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. And we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren." Chapter 2, verse 5. "By this we know that we love God and keep His commandments." In the fifth chapter, verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." So notice how the commandments are a very important part. The Word of God, that's the incarnate Word that Jesus brought through the Holy Spirit to these inspired men that wrote it down for us to be able to look and see. And you know, this sort of reminds me of Solomon's inspired words in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, verse 13. He said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all." So now I'm going to ask this question. Have you given your all to the Lord? If you have, then you're able to know the assurance of holiness in your life here below. But if you haven't given your all to the Lord, to Christ, then you must do like John and start by obeying the living incarnate Word, which is able to save your souls. And that's my lesson. We extend the gospel invitation as we stand and sing a number that Eddie will announce for us. We ask you to come forward if you have any needs.